I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. Right now I'm talking with Stan. Okay, let me try and get this right. Lyszewski. Okay, cool. Right on, man. So we're talking right now via Zoom, 2020 style. In another timeline, they would probably be on tour right now supporting their brand new record. But that is not what we have here in 2020. It's quite different. Instead, he's at home drinking Red Bulls, playing video games. Are you on that new PS5?
I am not. So I slept on the release and I missed out. But I'm on PS4 for now.
Okay. All right. Well, hopefully Santa will bring you a PS5 for Christmas. We'll see, right?
Fingers crossed.
So you guys are in Little Rock, Arkansas. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
Right on, man. So I guess first question for you is, how are things going in your neck of the woods? How are things, kind of weird all over the United States, but how's things going for you guys?
Things are pretty good. I guess all things considered, I've become a homebody throughout this entire quarantine process. So from my end, things are okay. I've kind of had to do some medication balancing to deal with some of that COVID stress and depression on a personal level, but I'm doing all right. Locally, the numbers are spiking, but that's expected. It's been chaotic, and I'm just along for the ride, I guess.
Okay, right on, man. Well, how are you personally been able to stay sane? You said you're like a homebody, so staying safe. How have you been able to stay sane? I mean, aside from, like you said, the medical, you know, doing different medications and stuff. What have you been channeling your energy into?
So when the quarantine, the coronavirus first hit the States, one of the first few things I did was cancel my gym membership.
Yeah.
But when I did that, I was like, well, I don't want to just give up being active completely. Like, I just need to do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of went on a Facebook Marketplace bender and bought a whole bunch of home workout gear on a whim.
Dude, they are gouging.
I'm able to work.
They are gouging prices.
Oh, yeah. It was bad. It was bad for a little bit. Or anything that was a deal would be like gone instantly. Mm-hmm. So I was like constantly refreshing my phone those first couple of weeks to try to find good deals. But I it ain't pretty. It ain't super nice, but it gets the job done. I got kind of a little home workout spot. So I just kind of go in there and blast my music. It's like a shed in my backyard.
Cool.
And just hit the weights for a little bit every day. And I think that helps keep me balanced a little bit.
So, beginning of 2020, you know, you guys gearing up for the big release of the big full-length Holocene Extinction, and then, you know, 2020 happens. What's it like for you to release, like, the most anticipated record in your career amidst a whole lot of bullshit?
Yeah, well, so it's mixed. I'm glad to have finally gotten it out. I think a lot of the lyrical content kind of fit what was going on.
Yeah.
Or what is and was going on at the time. Just some of the civil unrest that was going on. So in certain ways, the release timing worked, but obviously, not being able to tour was the biggest gut punch to us. We've never been a band that's been able to tour, very much. We've done a little bit here and there. But with this release, we were hoping to hit a lot of areas that we've never hit before, and you know, we had pretty big plans, and obviously none of that happened. So it is what it is, but we're just kind of rolling with the punches.
Nice, dude. Well, that's all you can do, man. And I'm assuming you have no problem with putting yourself out there as far as your stance on political issues and stuff. Is that right?
Yeah. I think that's pretty clear.
Absolutely, man. Usually I ask like musicians, you know, do you feel comfortable using your platform to like stand up? And I don't even have to ask you that because that's like exactly your band is,
of course,
plastered all over. Was that something you guys all agreed on, or is that just a personal, like, you write the lyrics, so this is what you want to write about?
Well, so it's definitely a little bit of both. Obviously, to keep things as genuine as possible, everyone in the band is pretty like-minded and on the same wavelength. So a lot of the lyrical content and stuff does come from me specifically, but, you know, I wouldn't have anyone in the band that, you know, I opposed any of those views or ideals at all. So, I guess I'm kind of the purveyor of that message, but as a whole, we're all with it.
Cool. Right on. So again, I'm talking with Stan, the singer of Terminal Nation. Their new record, Holocene Extinction, is available now. And I wanted to talk to you about hooking up with 20 Buck Spin, because they are just putting hit after hit after hit. They are just, I could subscribe to 20 Bucks Spin and just pay for everything that they put out without sight unseen.
No kidding.
Sub Pop used to do that back in the day. I feel like 20 right. Bucks Spin could do that. Tell me.
Oh, what's that?
So how did you guys hook up with 20 Bucks Spin, and what's that been like working with them?
So it was kind of a weird thing. I think last year while we were writing our full length, we were kind of label shopping. I mean, we knew our value, but we were looking for a label to do the record.
Yeah.
And we had a few leads here and there, but nothing ever really felt right or came to fruition. But are you still with me there?
Yeah, I'm here. Yep.
Okay. I had a weird pop up on my phone there. Sorry about that. But so we were in the process of writing the record. We were going to be recording it soon. We didn't have a label in mind, but we had enough money that we built up from, we did a small little run with our friends at Paul Bearer.
Hell yeah.
We just done a few online merch swaps. Great, great band. Great band. Yeah. Love those guys. And then we did a few like merch drops. And so we had a nice little, like, yo, we could just record this album ourselves. Like, we have the budget to make what we want. We don't need a label. So we kind of went into the studio and just did our thing, and we just self-funded the record, and we're like, yo, after we get our finished product, like in my head, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's kind of hard to convey that.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
To sell that to somebody without having a finished product there. So I was like, yo, we're just going to do this record and then we'll shop it around to labels. So after we recorded the record in October, had it mixed and mastered, and then we shopped it around to a few labels that, in my opinion, I thought we're kind of, I was throwing Hail Marys.
Yeah.
Just hoping for the best.
Yeah.
Maybe shooting what I thought was above, our value, I guess. But I was like, I'll go high and then we'll see where that gets me. And then if I keep, you know, if we can't settle on anything, I'll keep looking.
Shoot your shot, man.
And, and 20 Bucks Spin, I love that label. It's one of my favorite metal labels. Like you said a little bit earlier, they're just, everything is just fire. A tastemaker label, if you will.
Absolutely.
In metal. So we hit them up, and Dave, who kind of runs the show, he was just so chill. He was like, yeah, I'll do it. If you guys don't have anything agreed upon with anybody and you want to make it happen, let's do it. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, you know, he was aware of the lyrical content. He was aware of the message, the style, you know, he listened to the record, he was happy with it. And, it was just as easy as that. Like, that was one of the first labels that responded to us positively. And yeah. I was like, yo, if 20 Bucks Spin is down to do it, why keep looking?
Yep.
So we kind of settled with that, and I'm very happy with the outcome. That dude's been awesome. He's super supportive. And like you said, he's constantly putting out awesome stuff. So it's cool to be, a part of that lineage now.
I feel like if $20 bin, obviously no one's doing shows, but if in the future they were to do some sort of fest, I feel like you guys would really stand out because, not to say that they have like a sound particularly, but there's a lot of doom, a lot of death metal, you know, but you guys have a little bit more of a hardcore tinge with your death metal. I feel like that would make you guys really stand out. So you guys definitely have a lot of hardcore influences. Did you grow up in the hardcore scene, or where do you come from more of the metal? Where does your band, like your roots?
Yeah. So me personally, I guess, you know, I would classify myself like as my teenage years, as being a hardcore kid.
Yeah.
And the majority of the band kind of grew up in the hardcore scene. Now, Dalton, our guitar player, he joined the band after our first 7-inch. He came from more of a metal background.
Yeah.
And you can kind of tell after that first 7-inch, we have more of like a hardcore punk vibe. And then Dalton kind of pulls his writing style into it. And then we kind of lean more metal after that. Mm-hmm. But I think all of us, for the majority, all of us are kind of, we both have our feet firmly planted in both the metal and hardcore world. A couple of us lean more hardcore, a couple of us lean more metal, but we kind of straddle that line a little bit. In Little Rock's such a small city, such a small scene, that we can't really be picky and choosy,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Our hardcore and metal scene kind of have to blend in as one, or else, you know, we don't have enough people to facilitate two different scenes of such similar styles. So.
Fair enough, man. So if you're listening now and you're like, okay, hardcore kids playing death metal, it probably sounds like deathcore. That's not exactly what I'm talking about. It's not deathcore. It's more of what recently I've talked with a lot of roots hardcore kids that start death metal bands. Sebulba, Gatecreeper, Harm's Way, Creeping Death. A lot of that, I'd say, is like a new wave of like hardcore kids just getting more death metal, and it sounds like Terminal Nation, that's kind of like your wave too.
Yeah, so we do get categorized with some of those bands you mentioned. I think like Fuming Mouth, Creeping Death, Zabalba, we get categorized with them, and that's an honor to me. I think that stuff rules. I know some people like to maybe hate on hardcore kids playing death metal styles or whatever, but at the end of the day, so there's a lot of hardcore that you know, kind of sucks, but the metal influence stuff rules. And hardcore bands, I guess there's a lot of hardcore kids that write music, I guess, very with an ADD mindset, like, yo, hurry up and let's get to the mosh part, let's get to the breakdown, whatever. And like, that's a poor way of writing, but if you take that mindset and then after X number of years, you mastered finding the groove, finding the heavy parts of songs, and so you know, I'm with it. I'm with that movement. I'm not mad at it.
And of course, two bands that are actually Grammy nominated are also kind of within that movement too. Code Orange, of course, and then Power Trip. R.I.P. Riley Gale.
Yes.
So one thing I wanted to say, I have no problem with that. I actually started. So you were a guest on the show Dead Air.
Yes.
I actually started that radio show back in 2004. So,
oh wow, small world. Okay,
and then I passed that on to Trevor. So also,
that's awesome.
I do a death metal show, but this, can you see this Project X?
Yes. Oh yeah.
So there you go. I have no problem with hardcore kids playing death metal. It's actually, I love it. It's cool to see, you know, hardcore kids starting thrash bands, you know, death metal people starting emo bands. It's all good. So
that rock.
So yeah, what are some of your favorite releases of 2020? I personally have had more time to just sit back and listen to music and really just like,
yes, totally.
So totally. What are some of your standout albums of the year aside from the new Terminal Nation?
So it's going to be hard. If you were to ask me this question, you know, an hour ago, my answers might be slightly skewed.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of good stuff. I think, like you said, this year I've had more time on my hands to just sit down and listen to music, and appreciate music more. I don't know if that means that there was better albums out this year than there normally would be, or if I just have had more time to absorb them.
Yeah.
I've been buying music like crazy.
Cool.
some records that have stood out to me. Have you listened to the new Faceless Burial LP?
Oh yeah, that is brutal.
It rocks. Yeah, it's really good. That's a good one. The Undeath LP, I think. Mm-hmm. It's hyped up, but justifiably so. Necrot released a fantastic album.
Yep.
It's kind of standard Necrot, but you know, I think I said before, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. So they're masters at what they do.
That when you say standard Necrot, it's like it's so standard good. It's like you know, like,
yeah, of course.
It's like people are like, oh yeah, Hatebreed. They release the same song over and over. It's like, well, I like the song, so
yeah, the one song is good. So when they put 15 albums worth, it at least you know,
yeah,
at least it's tolerable.
Exactly.
On $20 spin, the Atramentus, I believe.
Haven't checked it out yet.
I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's Funeral Doom, and I'm not a Funeral Doom guy. Like, just putting that out there. It's not my cup of tea at all, and it's something that I shouldn't like. However, at the beginning of our call, I mentioned I've been playing video games.
Yeah.
I've been playing Death Stranding. I'm not sure if you're familiar.
No.
With the game. Okay, well, so it's a creepy, spooky game, and the premise of the game, without getting too deep into it, you do a lot of deliveries through like barren wastelands, like on foot delivery. So you're just like walking through the desert, walking through the mountains, walking through the forest.
Sounds like
and
Funeral
really
Doom.
Dark and grim. Yeah, yeah. You got to avoid like these ghost monsters in the air. But I've been playing that and listening to that Atramentus record, and it meshes so perfect. The vibes are just like spot on. But anyway, yeah. So that Atramentus record is very good. Drains California Curse.
It's a great album.
That rocks. It's pretty thrashy. It's fun hardcore. So I'm with it. It's fun hardcore without being cheesy.
Do you like that new Mind Force?
Oh man, Mind Force rocks, dude. So there's hardcore bands in 2020, and then there's Mind Force. It's good. It's good. It's like if Randy Rhoads joined Leeway.
Oh yeah.
And like that's what you would get. Like the guitar work is just insanity.
I showed my friend Ryan. Shout out to Ryan the Beard. I showed him that Mind Force and the guitar work. He goes, "This sounds like cocaine."
I would agree with that.
But yeah, man. So do you, personally, as far as like, your music and your listening consumption, are you a streamer? Are you a CD guy? Are you, you know, MP3? Do you do vinyl? What do you prefer?
Okay. So, I prefer vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
My record player I hope it's not bit in the dust. I lucked out at a resale shop and bought a very nice 1970s cabinet
cool.
And the turntable in it, but it in the past few weeks it's kind of been a little wonky.
Uh-huh.
So I've been streaming more so the past few weeks, but I definitely prefer vinyl. Like I mentioned a little bit earlier, I've been buying records like crazy this year, so vinyl's my preference. I work from home, so you know, I'll put a record on and then sit down at my computer and respond to a few emails or do some work and just get up 20 minutes later, flip that record. All day. I listen to vinyl all day. But in the past few weeks, I've been relying more on streaming with my record player down. But those are streaming or vinyl. That's kind of where I'm at.
Being someone that is now what you would consider, quote unquote, a professional musician with, you know, a big, big album out there. What's your perspective on streaming? Are you a fan of it? I mean, some people have gripes about it. I mean, I don't have really a dog in the race because I'm not a musician myself, but I hear musicians saying, you know, support it or, you know, do.
Sure. Sure.
I don't know. What's your perspective on it, dude?
I guess. Yeah. So the age old saying, there's no ethical consumption in late stage capitalism, I guess it would be. So I subscribe to streaming sites.
Yeah.
But, I think they're pretty, they don't treat their musicians fairly. That's no secret. So they're very just parasitic. I don't know if that's the word. But yeah, I mean it sucks. I subscribe to streaming sites. I try to purchase physical media when I can, or purchase downloads on Bandcamp or whatever. when I can. But I don't know. To say that I've taken a hit from streaming services, I don't think that I have. Maybe ask me in a few years. Maybe that'll be different. You know, maybe my answer will be different. But you know, streaming sites are gross, but I'm a subscriber.
Fair enough. Hey, so
it's the world that we live in, I guess.
Did you see the news site or the news story about how Spotify was saying that they would give preferential treatment to some artists and put them on playlists if they decide that they would take less money per play?
Oh God, no! I didn't see that, but that in absolutely no way, shape, or form surprises me at all.
It seems like that's like the modern
gross.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it seems like the modern day payola.
Yeah, like a
pay for play
2020 version. Pay for play. Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly. It's like a pyramid scheme almost.
Now that I say pay for play, was growing up in you know, hardcore and then metal and stuff. And being in underground bands, did you ever have to deal with that where you had to pay to play at shows?
You know, I remember that happening in like maybe adjacent worlds, but I guess, you know, I've been booking shows since I was like, 17, 18 years old. So I could see past the bullshit of pay for play, you know, pay to jump, open up for this band or whatever. Yeah. I guess I saw past all that like way early on. So I totally missed that world, but I did see a bunch of people, you know, fall suckers to those type of schemes, and it sucks. It's just gross.
So you seem to, I guess, have a pretty unique perspective. You said you've been booking shows since you were 17 or 18. Was this just like getting in contact with bands off like MySpace, or how did you know these? How did you have the confidence as a 17 or 18 year old to book these bands that are probably much older than you?
Yeah.
You're like the Jamie Josta.
Yeah. And so I think a lot of the dealings were on MySpace. I think, you know, so being from Little Rock, Arkansas, we're not exactly known as being like a hardcore hotbed, right?
Yeah.
And so there would be bands that would tour and I would want to see them. So I'd have to drive to like 3 hours to Memphis, or 5 hours to Dallas, or 5 hours to Oklahoma City,
yeah,
or just another larger city in a surrounding state that was maybe a bigger market that could get these bigger tours.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, all these bands would skip Little Rock. And I think, I don't know exactly how it started, but I think I want to say just hitting up bands and being like, hey, I see you got an off date between Nashville and Houston. You want to play Little Rock? And then, you know, I think it just happened chance like that. And maybe after a few larger shows, I want to say there was a cross-section of like three larger hardcore tours on the way to Sound and Fury in like 2009, and me and a few other guys kind of helped make it happen. It was like Alpha and Omega, Crucified, Harm's Way, and all these bands were on different tours,
yeah,
in like surrounding areas. And then a few guys from the area were like, yo, let's just ask them all if they want to play Little Rock on this weird off date that, you know, they happen to be crossing paths on. And it happened, and then, like, when that flyer got out, it was, like, 9 bands. It was obnoxious. I would never book the show
in 2020,
now that I know better. But it was like, 6 fairly larger hardcore bands, and they all kind of crossed paths, and then there was some locals. It was obnoxious. It was, like, 9 bands. But that flyer got out, and I think booking agents saw that, and they're like, oh, Little Rock's doing stuff.
Yep.
And so that kind of, from there, it was me and a couple other guys that kind of started booking hardcore and metal shows in the area. We booked an obnoxious show, and I think we all lost money on it, but word of mouth got around that Little Rock like pays for bands, and a few kids come out, not a whole bunch,
yeah,
but the kids that came out had fun and the bands had fun. So.
But you might as well not skip over it, and like it'll make it worth it. So.
Oh, for sure.
That's,
yeah, if it's an off day, you might as well play a show.
Yep. I remember seeing, it was probably a few years before then, it might have been like 2006.
2006 or 2007, but it was a Sound and Fury. It was like right after Sound and Fury or right before. And it was a bunch of those bands that came through and they all met up together. I think it was like Have Heart, Verse, Think I Care.
Wow.
Just a Blacklisted, just a bunch of hardcore bands all together on one. And that was just like this like epic moment. So who were like your hometown heroes as far as like hardcore? Then if you were booking some of these bands, what were the bands that you would put on as openers and stuff?
Okay. So I played in a band around that time called Jungle Juice. And we were like the only Little Rock hardcore band for a little bit.
Yeah.
There was a few other bands that kind of popped up after we had kind of started playing. I started Jungle Juice as a band because there was no. It's crazy. I'm like reliving this experience as I'm talking with you. But I was booking shows and I had no bands to put on there, so I pretty much started a band just to be able to play shows. Termination was the same way. We had kind of had a lull period in 2014 with no locals. Just Little Rock so small, you know, it's hard to start a band here. I totally get it. But yeah, so I started Jungle Juice, my first band, because there was no locals, and then I started Termination, my second band, because there was no locals in the area to play these shows or whatever. We had a few smaller bands. I think Johnny Cage.
Nice.
Is a band that we were homies with in the area. But that was it. Like I said, Little Rock small. We just kind of, the pickings are slim. So if you want to start a band and become like hometown heroes, Little Rock is the place to
move to. Little Rock
the place to do it. If you start a band, you'll be like the only one.
That's awesome. Did you ever book any bands like that, like years later would get huge or anything like that? And you look back and you're like, holy crap.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess in 2020, yes, I guess some of them did. So I want to say Touche Amore, Touche Amore. I booked them on one of their early tours. I think it was 2008.
Okay, yeah.
And they were touring en route to jump on a tour with a band called Thursday. This was like, I think right after the first Touche Amore album, but
cool.
It was like they were making a leap to like touring with much larger bands, and I think I had
you caught them right on the upswing.
Yes, I had like the last show that they were booking on there, and like it was crazy because I had been talking with the band about booking the show like via MySpace messages, mm-hmm. and I got them the show, and then out of nowhere, I don't know if they had a booking agent or like they changed from booking it themselves to having an agent in the middle of our talks. And so, like, I had an agent hit me up. He's like, hey, I need you to sign this contract and you're going to pay X amount. I was like, whoa,
nope.
What's going on? And I ignored the message and nothing ever came of it. but it was just funny. Yeah, so I booked early. And actually, it was crazy. Another cross-section, that Touche Amore show, or Touche Amore, it crossed paths with a Backtrack tour.
Oh, cool.
And so, like, those two bands definitely normally probably wouldn't play. I'm sure fans of either band are probably familiar with the other band, but it's a little bit of a styles clash.
Totally.
But they crossed paths. So I booked Backtrack and Touche Amore, both when both bands were relatively unknown. I think they were both on 6131. So it was kind of a cool meeting of two different styles in that area. Another band that I booked, I'm sure there's more that I'm just forgetting.
Yeah.
But a really cool show is Rotting Out.
I love that new album. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really good. It's good. But so this was like in Rotting Out's infancy. And I had it at a venue. But the venue that we had, it was like one of those type of venues that pops up and then kind of goes under after mm-hmm. a few months or a year or whatever.
I'm well aware of those things.
Yeah. So it was I had the show booked at a venue like that, but there was a hardcore show maybe a couple weeks prior where a fight broke out at.
Okay.
So the venue owner's like, no more hardcore shows. So I had Rotting Out and Creatures confirmed with nowhere to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we ended up just doing a generator show in a park.
Nice.
Because there was, we're in Little Rock. We have no other venues. The one venue that we had flaked on us. And it was really cool. Most people don't believe me when I say yo, I booked Rotting Out and they played in the parking lot of a skate park. And but yeah, that's another pretty cool one.
That's dope, man. Some good memories. So what would you say to someone who's listening and they said, you know, keep politics out of music?
So my gut instinct is like poser, but it's perplexing. Even now, you would think I would have, you know, a witty comeback like ready in the chamber.
Yeah,
it's just weird. Or I mean, I guess maybe in music in general, but in terms of like hardcore, even like some aspects of metal, you have your
Sepultura,
Napalm.
Yeah,
yes, Sepultura.
Everything they do is political.
Your Napalm Deaths, bands like that. And then, you know, it's like, I don't know. It just makes me think, yo, like, are you new here? What's going on? Do you need a brush up on your history or whatever? But yeah, it ain't for me. You're not gonna silence me.
Yeah,
and you know that's kind of where I'm at on that.
Well, I was just, I don't agree with that, but I just wanted to kind of ask a quote unquote devil's advocate, bro.
Of course.
Yeah. So, what's the best way to support you guys?
So I would, right now, obviously the preferred answer would be come see us in your town, but
yeah,
who knows when that'll be. But right now, I think, you know, if you listen to the record, tell people about it. Tell your friends about it. Yo, this band is cool. Check this band out. Post about it. If you listen to the record and you vibe with it, buy the record.
Yeah.
That's cool, too. I'm with that. We'll probably have a merch store opening up in the coming months. So, you know, we'll have merch available. $20 bin has shirts, long sleeves, CDs, whatever. They've got you covered. Just, you know, if you support and you vibe with what a band is doing, you know, buy their stuff, fuel their machine, keep them running.
Right on, man. So, just a couple more questions for you, being that we are a Northwest show, I'm going to put you on the spot here and ask, what's your favorite Northwest band of all time? What, like a Seattle band or Portland or mostly Seattle? Okay, since we're Seattle.
Okay. I gotcha. So, and this maybe is probably no surprise to you, that maybe, you know, if you're sonically Termination, we have certain influences are like lean, grindcore, power violence type stuff. You put me on the spot, so I may be a poser here. I want to say Iron Lung. Iron Lung is...
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, shout out Jensen. Yeah.
So, yes. So that band is incredible. I've seen them maybe for 4 or 5 times. You know, very... In like everyone's when you think of the purveyors of power violence, you know, the Top of the Pop, people jump to like Infest, Crossed Out, No Comment, Neanderthal, those type of bands. But I think in that conversation, Iron Lung is very underrated.
Absolutely.
Like that band has been pushing boundaries for a long time. And then in terms of like scoping out other bands with Iron Lung records,
yep,
like that's game changing in a lot of ways. You know, a lot of they've got a good eye for catching bands. I would say probably Iron Lung in that area for like hardcore power violence stuff. It really doesn't get any better than that.
So you said you've seen Iron Lung 4 or 5 times. Then you know that when you go see Iron Lung, not only do you get a good sonic, like metal grindcore experience, but you also get kind of a comedy show. Jensen has an amazing dry sense of humor.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's an experience. I don't know if this would be a knock. Maybe some people might take it as a knock, but it's like the power violence version of the Mark, Tom, and Travis show.
Yeah.
They're live album. I mean, I'm a Blink-182 nerd or whatever. But their live album where they're just cracking, you know, dick jokes the whole time.
Yeah.
In between songs. It reminds me of Iron Lung.
Okay, so I will ask you, if you're a big Blink-182 fan, do you go along with Tom DeLonge's theories about space? Do you believe that aliens do exist?
So, the child in me like wants to believe that 100% aliens are absolutely real. I think it's possible. I don't know if I've seen the evidence to say with 100% certainty that they exist, but I think it's very possible. And would I like for them to exist? 100%. Yeah.
So you said that you are a Blink-182 nerd. You're like a big fan.
You know, so it was one of my favorite bands growing up.
Okay.
Or I guess one of the bands that introduced me like to punk and then,
yeah,
you know, underground music.
I love Blink-182 as well. So I got to ask you,
okay,
what are a couple of your favorite Blink-182 songs? Because mine is actually their Christmas song, I Won't Be Home for Christmas.
Okay.
I love that song. Okay. Obviously I can't listen to it every time of the year, but you got to listen to it around Christmas. And then I also love Man Overboard, the extra song that was on, yes, the Mark, Tom, and Travis show. And then I also love their cover of Another Planet.
Okay, okay.
What are your favorite Blink-182 songs?
So Man Overboard, I think is probably my favorite. For me, I remember like going to, I think it was FYE to buy Take Off Your Pants and Jacket, like right when it came out.
Yeah.
And then when I put the CD on, like that first track, I believe it's Anthem 2, and like that, it just da-da-da-da-da, like I was just like hooked. So that one for
Sorry, like, It's Over.
Yes. So Man Overboard, and then that first track off Take Off Your Pants and Jacket. I haven't listened to it in a long time, but I guarantee you after this conversation, I'm going to go play it right now.
Nice. You thought you tuned into a death metal podcast? Well, now we're talking about Blink-182 and politics. Yes, good times.
All apologies. Right, right.
All right, man. My last question for you, dude, before we go, pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got it.
Oh, this could be good. Oh, okay. So, little known fact. I was a nursing school student.
Oh, wow.
So in a previous life.
Yeah.
It turns out nursing, wasn't for me. It takes a special kind of person to be a nurse, and I'm not that special kind of person, but I did work, in nursing school. I worked mm-hmm. in a male psych ward as like oh, a wow. nursing assistant. Like,
yeah.
I've gotten them covered up with tattoos since then, but I did have a patient in that facility stab me with a fork.
Holy.
Try to stab me with a fork. And we kind of wrestled on the ground a little bit, but I had a pretty gnarly scar. I've since covered it up so you wouldn't be able to see it. So I was stabbed, with a fork by a mental patient in a psych ward, I guess. It was a very eye-opening experience. It was a crazy one, but it happened.
Sounds like a Six Feet Under song. Wow.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Stabbed by a psych patient.
It's always a fun story to tell.
Okay, you know what? I teased. I have one more question for you since this is going so well.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah. If you were magically thrown into the ring at a WWE event or a UFC event,
oh, and
you
doing it. Okay.
And you have
okay.
to choose your theme song, what's your theme song?
Oh, man. Oof. Let's go with Rise and Fall by Leeway.
Nice. Nice, dude. I like it.
I just like something heavy, something like heavy that you could run out to and just like, you know, look into the camera and do that flex. I think that would be the one. You put me on the spot. Yeah, maybe my answer would change if I had 10 minutes to brainstorm on it. But I would go with Rise and Fall by Lou Wade.
And then final, what's the best new metal band of all time? And what's the worst new metal band of all time?
Oh, God, the worst. Okay, so I'm not a new metal aficionado by any stretch. So System of a Down, I think, is in that world, or I maybe mistakenly in that world. I do love System of a Down. I think yeah. their songwriting is impeccable. That band is on another level. I think it's kind of a misstep to describe them as a new metal band.
But they are. But they, yeah. They're described as it, at least.
Yes, they're in that. They're perceived to be in that wave. I think they're different. Just like I don't think Deftones is a new metal band.
Exactly.
They were in that. You know that era.
They wore Adidas, so people call them new metal.
that's true. Yeah. But yeah, so I would say for me, if they are classified as a new metal band, I would say System of a Down would be the best. And the worst. Ooh,
I'm going with Head
that's
PE.
That's a tough one.
I'm going with Head PE.
Oh, that's bad. Yeah, that's really bad. Was that band called Edema?
Yeah, that was Jonathan Ooh, Davis's little brother's band.
Yeah. Yes. That
as you can tell, I work at a rock radio station.
Okay. yeah, so I remember one song by Edema being on the radio all the time for a few months when I was a kid, and it was really, really bad. I don't know. I'm not a new metal aficionado, but I do remember, I couldn't tell you what the song sounded like, but I do remember thinking it sucked. And then that band being the butt of some jokes X number of years later. So we'll go with Edema being the worst. No offense to them. Shout out Edema. Hope you're not.
Actually, you know what?
That,
Head PE, they're fine. I'm going with Crazy Town as the worst.
Oh, that's a good one. I think that might be an undeniable fact.
That is a good strip club jam, though, I'm sure. I'm sure many a lady have danced to that.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure as we speak, it's happening.
During Corona. with the masks on. Anyways, dude, good.
I would hope so, yes.
Good to talk to you, man. Is there anything?
Yes, you thank you so much.
Yeah, is there anything you want to say to the Northwest audience before I let you go?
Not you know, again, this is to reintroduce myself. This is Stan from Terminal Nation. We just had that album Holocene Extinction come out a few months back. Go listen to it. If you're down with it, pick up a copy, and hopefully we will play your city in the next couple of years. We'll see.
Hopefully so, man.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.